Blog Talk Radio.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he prepares for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Precious saints of God, welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope you're all doing well. And we must all agree that the Lord really blessed us yesterday. What a wonderful, wonderful Mother's Day service. What a special service that was. Well, we're in studio today to do a new series here. We're starting with Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22. And it reads like this, Isaiah 60, 22. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we're believing you, Lord. We're believing you for 1,000 souls at Grace Church. We're believing you for an outpouring of your Spirit. We're believing you for a great and magnificent visitation. We're believing you for the saving of many souls. We're believing you for doing the impossible in this day and age. So, Father, the Bible says those that come to God must believe that he is, and we do. And that you are the rewarder of them that diligently seek you. Bless this study this week, Lord, as we endeavor to put our faith behind this verse to believe you for a miracle we so desperately need. This we ask, this we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen and amen. The title of this week's series, which is series number 20, God's Promise to Fill Grace Church with 1,000 Redeemed Souls. God's promise. This verse here, Isaiah 60:22, is a promise. It's a promise from God. It's a promise from God not only for Grace Church, but for the St. John's Reformed Church, if they would so believe it. It's a promise for the Lutheran Church. It's a promise for every church, in every village, in every city, in every hamlet, in every town. It's a promise. It's a scripture promise. And when God makes promises, we must believe them. So here's the promise. The promise is that God will fill Grace Church with 1,000 souls, but not just 1,000 souls, but 1,000 souls that are fully redeemed, fully washed in the blood of Christ, fully born again, completely born again. We want 1,000 new creatures in Christ Jesus. For when you're born again, you are a new creature in Christ. That's what we're believing God for. So, this is our text. And this text, of course, was spoken to an Old Testament people, the people of God, the ancient Israelites. But the text also applies to the church today, God's modern people, God's modern church, his present-day church. The text applies to us also, the promise. What's the promise? That God will take one insignificant person, a little one. He'll take a little itty-bitty person. When you look at a child that's 5, 6 years old, what do you see in that child? Well, you don't see much. You see future potential, but you don't see present potential. You can't say to that child, here's an axe, go chop down that tree. You can't say to the child, here's the car keys, go down to Walmart and bring back $300 in groceries. You can't say that to a five-year-old child. There's future potential, but there's no present potential. There's nothing there. God chooses to take an insignificant person, a person whom society does not think much of, and takes that person and multiplies them by 1,000. One, a little one, shall become 1,000. And a small one, a tyke, a babe, if you will, shall become a strong nation. I, the Lord, will see to it. I, the Lord, will make it happen. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time, in its season, at the proper moment. I, the Lord, will do it. Now, in looking at this text and saying, okay, how does it apply to the Old Testament people, and how does it apply to the New Testament people, I want to draw a distinction for you, a very important distinction, between the Old and the New Testament. God's people multiplied in the Old Testament by the very act of generation. The word generation. Generation means, equals, life produced by man. And that is a slow process in the Old Testament. The Old Testament church grew as people had children. That's how the Old Testament church grew. Abraham had Isaac. That's how the church grew. And then Isaac had Jacob and Esau. And that's how the church grew. It grew generationally. And so that's why it's called generation. These are the generations. And in each generation, there is one key person, one individual. And that's why it always starts with one person. A little one shall become a what? A thousand. Always. And a small one, a strong nation. And that takes time. That takes generations to produce. Now, in the New Testament, the process is a lot quicker, whereas in the Old Testament, the process of building the church numerically takes many, 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 many generations. In the New Testament, it happens in a day. The process is very quick. So, let's draw this contrast. Let me just take you, let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 5. If you're reading from the King James Bible, in Genesis 5, you'll notice that the word generation is prominent. The word generation means life produced by man. Adam knew his wife Eve, and she produced a child. Every pregnancy produced one child. Now, if you notice, we're going to read the entire chapter. There's 32 verses in chapter 5. And you'll notice that every father has a little one. And then that little one grows to become an adult. He becomes a father, and he has little ones. And so forth and so on. This is the word generation, life produced by man, which is a very slow process, a very slow process, okay? All right, so let's start reading Genesis chapter 5. I'm reading from the King James because it has the word generation. The New King James has the word genealogy. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. But that word genealogy really doesn't capture the thought of life produced by man. For that, I prefer the King James Version of the Bible. So, Genesis chapter 5, we're going to read all 32 verses.
Genesis 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, and after his image, and called his name Seth.
So you see, Adam, after 130 years of age, begot a son by the name of Seth. Notice, a father produces a son. That son is the little one, and it's in that son that you have the thousand. Let's continue reading.
And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years, and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years, and begat Mahalaleel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years, and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
And there you have the generations of Adam, all of his progeny, all of his posterity, all of his offspring, generation after generation, with the marking of one key individual in each generation. Look how long it took for there to be 1,000 people. It took numerous generations. That's the slow process of life being produced by man. One man, one woman, one generation, second generation, third generation, fourth generation. That's the way it was in the Old Testament. Remember, generation equals life produced by man after his own kind. In the New Testament, God builds the church not by generation, but by regeneration. Life produced by God. Life produced by the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. You must be regenerated, Jesus said to Nicodemus. That, my brothers and sisters, can happen in one day. Proof of that is Acts chapter 2. Let's go to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. It says in Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received Peter's words were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Notice, in Genesis 5, it took forever. That's life produced by man. But life produced by the Holy Spirit can happen in an instant, in great, great, great numbers. So when I say I'm believing God for 1,000 souls, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Acts 2:41. I'm believing God for 250 children, 250 youth, 250 young adults, and 250 adults and seniors. Now, is it possible? It definitely is. Why? Because in both cases, whether the Old Testament or the New Testament, God says, and I'm going to read the text again in Isaiah 60, verse 22, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his, what, time. In the Old Testament, all of those genealogies, all of those generations that you have being produced by Noah and the subsequent generations, God saw to it. God blessed those generations. God multiplied it. And of course, in the Old Testament, it took longer. In the New Testament, God also hastened the revival on the day of Pentecost and made it happen. Whether Genesis 5 or Acts 2, it's all God supervising the growth of his church. The good thing is, in the New Testament, we don't have to wait hundreds of years to see something like that happen. All we do is turn to God in prayer and ask him for a visitation, a divine visitation. We're not asking for men to show up. We're asking for the Holy Spirit to show up. And when he shows up, and he normally shows up when one person, you read the accounts of revival. If you go back and you look at that book that we're reading now, The Power of Prayer, by Samuel Irenaeus Prime, there was one man, a lay preacher, one man, who decided to seek God for the burden he had for how many? Listen to me, saints. How does that chapter open up? How does that introduction open up? The man is crying, he says, I would have to live 1,000 lives to minister to the thousands of people. That's the key word. You see, we're talking about what? 1,000. He said, oh, Lord. You see how we're tying this together? You see how we're tying Isaiah 60:22 to the book that we're reading? To the account of the man that was so burdened of God. There was one man, one, who was burdened of God, a lay preacher, a lay minister, who was heavy-hearted over the thousands that were suffering. He declared, I would have to divide myself. I would have to live 1,000 lives to minister to these thousands of people. But he turned to God in prayer, and God saved the thousands. That, my brothers and sisters, is what this week's lesson is all about. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're believing God for. The text says, a little one. That preacher who was a layman, who wasn't even licensed, he was not ordained, he was not fully recognized. If you're a lay preacher, listen, you're on your own. Nobody really recognizes you. No one ever gives you the time of day if you're a lay preacher. You're really, with the title lay preacher, it's really, what they're calling you is insignificant one, little one. And that's whom God chose to use to produce the thousands of souls. The thousands. My brothers and sisters, the Bible is proof positive. It's the evidence that God answers prayer and God will always honor his promises. He has made us a promise in his word, and I am holding God to that promise by faith. God's promise to fill Grace Church with 1,000 blood-washed, born-again, on fire for Christ souls. With 1,000 people like that, we can take Central New York for Christ with 1,000. With 1,000 on fire for the Lord, we can do so much for Christ where we are. Now, to get 250 children, 250 youth, and 250 young adults, and 250 adults/seniors, all we really need is 250 families. Because a family is generally made up of 6 people. When you look at the composition of families, almost all families have children, they have teenagers, they have some young adults, and they have some adults. 250 families will give us one of each, and there we would have our 250 from each category. Can't the Lord give us 250 families? Of course he can. Every family has a grandma and a grandpa. Come on, saints. Let's do the math. It's easy. And it'll be easier if we turn to God in prayer. A little one, a little one. Revival always starts with people nobody knows. You study revivals. You study revivals. We have in our prayer manual the woman who went to the little, it's called the Little Red Schoolhouse. Think about that. The title, Little Red Schoolhouse. A little schoolhouse that became what? In the evenings. What did it become in the evenings? A prayer center. Where a little old woman, after the prayer meeting was canceled by the faithless pastor, a little old woman walked in the snow, hip deep. And on her way back home, the deacon called her into his house and said, "Mother, where have you been?" "Oh, I've been at the prayer meeting at the Little Red Schoolhouse." "You, mother? Not the reverend doctor, you, mother?" A little old woman going to the little old schoolhouse. That word little is so vital, because God takes the little things, the little ones. He took little David to bring down that giant Goliath. Little things. The little babe in Bethlehem. The little babe. My brothers and sisters, despise not, the Bible says, small beginnings. We're always putting down the small. Oh, well, 2 people. I canceled the prayer meeting. Only 2 people are showing up. We wouldn't cancel it if 1 person showed up. Why? Because the little old ladies, when asked by the deacon, "Mother, who was there?" "Oh, God the Father was there. God the Son was there. And God the Holy Spirit was there. And I'm going back next week for more. I'm going back for more. We had a grand time. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and I did." A little one shall become 1,000. And a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Father, we thank you for today's lesson, and we anticipate what you're going to do in the days to come. Bless us, O God, as we turn to your word in faith, believing that not only do you hear our prayers, but you are, but that you are anxious to answer them. You are willing to answer them. Bless us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. We'll be back tomorrow. Saints, don't forget tomorrow night, our prayer meeting, Tuesday. Be prepared to join us as we call on God to pour out his mighty Holy Spirit.
While passing through this world of sin and others your life shall view, be clean and pure without within. Let others.